Triple M's Rush Hour podcast for Motorsport Wheels and Tyres, Australia's largest range of wheel and tyres at two great locations, Mount Derrimut Road, Derrimut, and South Gippsland Highway, Dandenong South, or online at mswt.com.au.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Let me entertain you.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I've forgotten how bad your singing was.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, very nice to have your company. Wednesday. Oh, she's a short week this one, Willis, which we quite like.
Love it.
They suit us.
Yep.
Michael Hibbert in here, the pig. Moved from Essendon to Melbourne. Some people who don't understand were saying, well, is that a good thing to do? Is he a good boy? He's been brilliant.
Very good.
He has.
Very good.
Strong and also just knows what he's doing back there, Bill. And one-on-one's very, very nice on the weekend. He was very important, so we look forward to chatting to the pig.
Yep.
And then second hour, speaking to the pig, we've got the other one in.
Who?
Chief.
The big pig.
Piggy.
Oh, the piggy Dunstall.
He's coming in with Jay-Z Clark.
And the piglet.
That's it.
Yes.
Well, he has become a little bit like that, Jay-Z. So those two, as we get, of course, to a nice midweek rub, we have another look at Fat and Skinny's, which we've relaunched, the agency.
Oh, yeah.
Top five social media feedback. This show has got every single thing. Hello to you, Fat.
And we're back at 3 o'clock, which we're just getting used to, Jim. Just getting used to, my friend. Oh, I had to go out to lunch today with Big Barry Stoner.
Barron's,
yeah. I left him to pay. Sucked.
Yeah, good.
Because I had to rush off to work, Jim.
Well, that's it, Bill.
Oh, g'day to you. G'day, listeners. G'day you, Leroy.
Do-ah-diddy-diddy.
Do-ah-diddy-diddy. There's a great Brian Taylor.
Thank you, Brian.
Good man, Brian. Mm-hmm. Now, Jim, I'll tell you what, this the runners on the ground, especially Nick Maxwell.
Yes.
And the Giants haven't taken too well to this, Jim.
Right.
They're saying it's inference on runner grossly unfair. It's saying it's cheating, and we're not cheating, says the Giants. So he said extremely uneducated. This is Wayne Campbell, Jim, from the Giants, saying extremely uneducated.
Right.
The reason Nick was standing there was because during the JLT series, an AFL match day manager told him it was the best spot to stand for kick-ins because the ball generally doesn't go there. It goes on the 45s.
Yep.
Do you agree with that, Jim?
I don't agree with the length of time they're on the ground.
That's
my issue. Where they stand, other than they're not allowed inside forward 50, obviously, but where they stand when you've got a shot for goal, where they kick in, sorry, where they stand, Bill, I don't care. Just get off the ground. Get your message out and then get yourself off.
I tell you, do we need them, Jim? Should they be banned? Why do you need a runner?
Well, just to get the message out from the coaching staff, I guess. I don't mind them as long as they do it and get off. But it's when they get out there and then they stand around and then they go to another place and stand around and another place and stand around.
Yep.
That's I don't like it from a look point of view as much as anything else. There's already enough people on the ground.
Well, then the water boys run out, Jim.
That's it.
There's too many people on the
ground. No, I'm with you. Totally agree.
I wouldn't care if they banned them, to be honest.
Well, I say, well, you're the ex-player.
Yeah.
Do you need messages out to players?
Well, I didn't. Some blokes do. They don't keep it in their head. Oh, fool's head's got no idea.
Yes.
See, Eddie Betts, they had the week off, Jim, so he just turned up to a local footy club and had a train with them and with Lockleys.
Eddie Betts,
a good man.
Quality.
Now, Jim, I'm no expert on the world game, okay?
Yes, neither am I.
I'm worried about our national team. Smash last night 4-0 against Brazil. I know it was a friendly.
Yep.
They kicked a goal in the first 12 seconds. 12 seconds, Jim.
How does that work?
Oh, but...
You'd think you'd hold up for longer than that.
In our day, Jim, we knew... The national team, didn't we? We knew Viduka.
Yep.
We knew Harry Kuehl.
Harry Kuehl.
Mark Bresciano.
Yeah, that's it.
John Aloisi.
Oh, yeah.
And we knew Lucas Neal.
Yeah, of course we did.
Give
Kale,
me some
all those boys.
No. Well, give me one Socceroo now.
I wouldn't be able to
Tim Carles, the only one we've got.
Yep. He's still playing?
Yeah,
I didn't even know he was still playing.
No, he had a bit of a run, then had a spell last night. But I don't know any other players.
No.
And I'm worried for them. I don't know if they're any good, Jim. To be honest.
Aren't we just doing very well in the qualifying? The other day we beat Saudi Arabia, which put us right up there.
Yeah,
in the,
just going, Jim.
Bill,
just
I
going.
Think in our region we're actually going pretty well.
No, they've got to, I think they've got to beat Japan or Thailand or someone like that, Jim, in our region.
Thailand.
Thailand, Jim. Bangkok or whatever.
Well, I'm not sure our best is good enough to beat Brazil.
Well, no, I know that, Jim, but I don't know our national team players anymore.
So you're concerned about the quality of our team because you don't know the players?
Plus also how they're on the pitch. See, I said pitch, Jim, because I'm all over the world game, the old onion bag.
National team instead of Subarus now?
Subarus.
Subarus.
Oh, no, good. So good luck to the Subarus. Nice. And they didn't know. And I tell you who are the winners, mate, and this is a very good quote. Do you know who said this quote, Jim?
Who?
Winners have parties, losers have meetings.
No, I don't know. I think it's been around for a while.
Josh Maguire. Mm-hmm. I don't know who he is.
No, but I don't either.
But that's a very good quote, that. Winners have parties, losers have meetings. Yep. Speaking of parties, what about the Warriors, Jim?
Go on.
They had 80 bottles. This is the team and the entourage.
80 bottles.
80 bottles of Moe Chandon. Oh, well.
Normally it's like Cristal or
whatever.
That's
what I'm thinking, going a bit cheap.
Yeah, they have a bit cheaper.
You pull a verb out or...
verb.
Verb.
Or an adjective?
No, the verb. What's... the yellow champagne, what's that called?
Verve Clicquot.
It's called verb.
Not verb.
It's verb, Jim.
V-E-R-V, not B.
Well, verb I don't Clicquot. Drink it as a rule, Jim. I'm happy with my little...
Normally, these level of athletes go Dom Perignon or the Cristal, which is your real expensive
listen
job
to you, you flog. But also two custom 6-litre Nectar Rose bottles. Ooh. They've added $15,000 each.
Oh, there we are.
But I thought they might have gone a bit more.
With the money they earn, they can do whatever the hell they like. Those
I know. I'll tell you what else is just bubbling
you've got
away.
Some news going.
Eddie Maguire's had a crack back at Mark Robinson, who had something to say on AFL 360.
Jeez.
I don't think we've got that, have we?
We do, yep.
All right.
You want to hear Robbo or Eddie?
Let's have a listen to Robbo on 360 last night.
When I've done the apology, Jared, on Twitter, online, on the back page of the Herald Sun, on SEN Radio, on Fox News, and on 360, so what's that? That's 7 or 8 apologies, okay? I waited and I said, I am going to write him a letter and I apologised to him and I apologised to his family, his mum and dad. And at the end I said to him, I'll say it again, this was my muck up. So I'll try and fix it. So I asked for an interview for him to talk to me and he can tell me whatever he wants. You know, I feel comfortable in what I've done to try and rectify the situation I got myself into.
There, that's Mark Robinson last night and Eddie on the Hot Breakfast this morning.
My only problem is that Mark sent that email 6 days later. The heat had gone out of the story by that stage. So in his interview last night, he said it was the story was hot, it was going. It had cooled down. But here's what happened. I said to him yesterday, Mark, you were told by the president of a football club acting as the mouthpiece for the medical experts, do not make any contact with Alex Fasolo. He sent a letter of apology that then contained an ask for an interview, for a one-on-one interview.
Yeah, so still bubbling away. I wonder...
Rums.
Well,
some oxygen, this one.
I have. The piglet, will he be able to say anything? Jay Clark?
Well, I don't know. We'll get to him when
he works for the Herald
Sun
and Robbo's his boss.
Well, we will get to that in the second hour, Bill. But by geez, it's stayed in the air.
Has it? What?
Normally these ones die off a bit, but this one stayed nice and airborne.
Because people keep adding fuel to it, especially the perpetrator.
All right. Well, she's a big show. I'm going to tell you something happened to me last night.
Oh.
Bill.
Yes, please.
Last night I'm lying in bed.
Oh.
Right?
Yes, Jim.
And I had a dream all the time. I don't know. It's weird. But last night, Bill, I had the weirdest and most vivid dream ever, and I'm going to tell you about it.
Please tell.
I'm at Carl Stefanovic's wedding.
At his wedding?
Now, last time I checked, Billy Ann getting married.
No, he's marrying the young one.
No, I don't think so. I think they're just swinging hands.
Oh.
So he's not even having a wedding, but I'm at his wedding.
But you're at his wedding.
And Bill, how the hell am I at his wedding? I know Carl Stefanovic as well as you do. In other words, when we see him at the Logies, you say, g'day, Carlos, how are you? And he's a lovely bloke.
Yeah.
And then you won't see him for another year. He'd never rung me in his life. I would be the last person he'd invite to his wedding.
So what were you doing at his wedding?
Got no idea. I'm at his wedding. Mm. Anyway, jeez. I'm all excited.
Yeah.
Society wedding.
Society, you're there.
the A-listers are everywhere.
Oh, new Rayshaw's there.
Carlos comes up to me 20 minutes before the reception starts and says, you're emceeing.
Host. John Barker style.
I said, Carlos, I ain't MC.
Yes, you are.
I said, there's Richard Wilkins.
Oh,
there's all the A-listers are here. You've got the who's who of the industry. I am not, with 20 minutes notice, emceeing your wedding.
Yes, you are.
He said, Jim, it's up to you.
Oh, it's up to you.
Take it over. Run with it. Make it. He said, say whatever you want. Give it to me. Give it to anyone you like. Be as edgy as you want to be.
Beautiful.
He said, it's up to you.
And?
So then, Bill, I sneak out to the back of this reception and start. I haven't done any prep. I'm finding out 20 minutes.
So this is all a dream.
Dream.
Jeez, it sounds real.
Bill, I'm sitting out the back. I'm trying to write something that I think will be remotely humorous. Ray Martin's there. All the big guns of the Rays there.
Ray.
I'm thinking,
what are you going to start with?
Yeah. I'm going to have to start with something crisp.
Exactly.
I'm going to have to get the Lisa Wilkinson's there.
Oh, Lisa.
With her bandana wearing husband.
Oh, yeah, Flogsville.
Bill. I mean, all there. And I'm bloody.
You better be good, Jim.
Your advice, me first. You better be a sharpie.
You better be sharp.
And as I'm doing it, Bill, people are interrupting me, and I'm saying, "Bugger off!" I'm trying to prepare to bloody MC Carl Stefanovic's wedding.
Jeez, it's real.
Oh, Bill. Anyway, I woke up out of nowhere, and it took me about one of those. It was that real. It took me about a minute to work out that he isn't getting married. I'm lying in my bed in Melbourne. It's all an absolute...
How far did you get? Did you get up on stage or what happened?
Just about to that sort of point and full panic set in because I'm just not ready.
It's like when you're falling, Jim, and you wake up before you hit the
Bill.
Ground.
I wasn't up there just yet, but I was on my way. And it was just incredible. What do you make of that?
So, well, I'll tell you, we'll ask the family, Jim. 133353. Ring now and tell us, how do we interpret Jim's dream?
What does that mean?
Fool's head's dream. What did it mean?
I don't know. It sounded
bloody real.
I was.
I actually thought you did do it.
Well, because half the time you don't remember them next day.
Yeah.
But this one, vivid. What? I remembered every single bit of it.
What did Jim's dream mean? 133353.
What are we giving away?
Two great prizes up for grabs. We've got the Kangas and the Saints this Friday night at Eddie Hat. Double pass there. Thanks to Spirit of Tasmania. And also... He's live next month. His story in his words, hosted by Carl Stefanovic, JB.
That might have been it. That might have been the reason because John Cena is being hosted, of course, by Carlos.
So he is.
That might have been the thing that bloody stuck me. I don't know, Bill.
I think we got Carl here, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
There you go, Jim.
All right, 133353. Ring and tell us what the hell that bloody dream means because I still can't work
exactly.
it out.
Exactly. Oh, fool's heads had a dream.
I know, Bill.
It sounded bloody real.
It was very real. I don't understand it. It was, as I say, the last thing I'm ever going to claim to be is a good friend of Carl Stefanovic.
Oh, yes, you are. Look at me. You're such a name dropper.
Bill, I've had three things to do with him in my life. So he and I, if he heard this, he would be horrified.
No.
Anyway, Cam's on the line from Essendon. Cam?
Yep, mate. How are you?
Interpret that stupid bloody dream, will you, please?
I can interpret it perfectly.
Yep.
So basically, you're pumping yourself up with all the big names.
Yes.
Don't. You don't really want to talk, but secretly you do.
Yep.
So the full interpretation is James Brayshaw is a full flog.
Yes.
Well, I'm not disputing that, Cam. Let me just say.
Say that again, Cam. We've got to record this for when we do a flog, right? What is he, Cam?
Brayshaw is a flog.
Yes. Thank you. That goes straight to the highlight reel.
Oh, I love it. As I say, Bill, I ain't actually arguing with Cam, but I'm just trying to work out what the hell this means.
Let's
get to Nicole from Seaford. Hey, Nick.
Hello. How you doing, boys?
Hey, Nickers.
Hey, I have done a dream interpretation course, so there is a bit of a trick to this. So you've got a pen and paper handy.
Got it.
And what you have to do, James, is actually think about the key factors that were in your dream. So, Carl Stefanovic.
Yes.
So, whatever you think, if you kind of remove Carl out of the picture, but tell me what you think and feel about him. So he's a celebrity,
somebody
you've had minimal contact with,
somebody
that you respect, perhaps,
or
you admire.
I admire him.
Now move that along, and you're at a function.
Yep.
How do you feel when you go to weddings?
Happy for the people that are getting married.
What about your own?
Nick?
And happy for the grog.
Yes.
So something that makes you feel good, and then you were going to talk, but you were under pressure.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, so now you've got to think about what's really going on in your world. So remove Carl, remove the wedding, etc. Is there something going on in your world that you've got to go and perform at, that you've got to, you'll be around people that you admire and somebody you want to impress?
Yes, or Jim. I know exactly who you're talking about, Nicole.
I got a bit going on, Nick. Not necessarily to do with public speaking.
No, Jim.
I'm hearing what you're saying, though. I like the way you've broken it down. Can you interpret it yourself? Well, I can. There is a bit going on, but not to do with public speaking, which I am exceptionally good at. By the way. The only issue, Nick, is Carlos gave me no time to prepare.
Yeah.
Well, are you in a situation where you've got no time to prepare, or somebody that's putting pressure on you that you admire, but he's just not giving you a good crack?
Well, they're me.
Yeah, it might be Bill, but I don't admire him.
Interpret mine, Nickers.
Oh, what are you going to say, Billy?
I was in girls in bed with three girls. Miley Cyrus is one of them.
We're not going down that path.
What is
that
one? Young.
Too young.
Too young. Exactly right.
And a bit going on there was, Nickers.
Yeah, Nick.
And I was very good.
Nick, don't say any more words.
I'm sure you were.
Don't say any more words. Actually, I like that.
She could ring us up one day and we could talk about dreams. Because a lot of people.
How weird, Bill.
Falling dreams, money dreams.
I don't understand it. Other than, you know, probably just the sort of superstar bit.
Oh, you're a flop.
Outside of that, Bill,
you know
I
what it
understand.
Is? I've worked it out, Jim.
What?
You want to get back on TV. That's what you want to do, you flop.
Yeah, no.
You can't wait to get back on TV.
That's it, Bill. I've seen what's happening over at Channel 10. I can't wait to get myself involved in that.
How's Nine going, boy?
Don't ask me. I'll tell you what we're going to do is get the pig in next. And this man's playing very good football for the D's, Michael Hibbard.
Chipping ball there to Hibbert. He marks, goes inside 50, 45 and closing. Got it to the punt road end. Hibbert goes to the crowd and said, I'm here.
He's been absolutely brilliant since swinging across from the Bombers to the D's. And it's nice to have him in here. How are you, Pig?
Good, mate. Yourself? No, where's Bill?
I don't know. Bill runs his own race, Bill. He's just wandered off fat. We don't know what the hell he's on about. Hey, big win. Queen's birthday is a ripping day. And I thought the way you blokes responded after halftime was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. It was a great win. We both teams had a bit on the line. You know, the winner went into the eight. We got that, which was good. And you know, we went into the third quarter, needing to win around the contest. And the mids did that. We went in and got our own ball and we ended up kicking some goals. So it was a good win in the end.
Oh, I loved you late in the game too. I reckon there were a couple of crucial one-on-ones you had to win deep. And you turned it around and exited nicely with the footy. So you're rowing your side of the boat.
Yeah, well, that's my job. To get in there and win some one-on-ones, get some spoils in and get the ball out of the defensive 50. It was that contest late, and then Whopper kicked that goal to put us in front with about a minute to go, which was crucial.
How have you seen Bill's questioning to date in this interview, Pig?
He's been useless.
Hello, Pig. How are you?
Where were you, Fat?
I had to do something.
What did you have to do?
6-5 now, going nicely, the D's. Without a couple of superstars, too, Maxi Gawn and Hogan. So there's a bit to like at the minute.
Yeah, there is. You'd arguably say they're in our top. Those two players are our top three players, Hogs and Gawny. And to be actually able to compete in the middle without, arguably the best ruckman in the comp has been good.
Exactly. Person's done a pretty good job, hasn't
he?
And I tell you who we love. We all love Jackie Boy Watts, of course. Yep. Have for a long, long time. But to get the ball and just say, no, this is Jackie Watts' time here, could have given it off. He said, no, I'm the man to do this, and just iced it.
Yeah, it was nice to watch. He's a cool, calm, collected unit. And to see him take a few, I think it was a left-handed bounce in the end. It looked a bit awkward. But to get to 35 and just put it through with a minute to go, it was... It was pretty nice.
And the Petrarch, we love the way he operates and have done for a long time.
And
he's
so
one
does
of our,
he.
He's one of our boys. He comes in here regularly. Wants to take Bill out to his grandma's
Nonna
to have the full lasagna treatment. But he was great. And if he'd kicked straight, he easily could have slotted 5 or 6.
Oh, he's a super talent. Powerful unit. He's got the biggest legs and ass I've ever seen. So he's powerful. He launched at the ball. And he's got great hands. I think he kicked 3 and... He was just everywhere. He's clearly best on ground. So, it was good for him to get the best on ground. It's shocking for the locker room because we haven't heard.
Does he really talk about it? Like he pumps himself up and just lets you know how well he went?
He's just got a lot of energy, the kid. And, he's pretty happy with himself. But he's a superstar. Well, he's going to be a superstar. He's just he's treading in the right direction now.
I tell you what was also good. Neil Danaher and his talk that was replayed. When was that with you guys?
It was during the week. I think it was before our main session. And it was a really good chat. It was inspirational to hear him speak about how selfless you got to be, especially what he's done for MND and other sufferers. I think it's super, and it just shows the character of bloke he is. And it was really inspirational to hear him during the week at training.
Do you hear that, Jim? It was really good. Yeah, and I think it was played to the crowd, and everyone watched that and listened to that. So it's well done, Neil.
How far are you away from Jeremy Howe?
I was about 100 metres. I was in the goal square and he was, on the wing? It was unbelievable. I actually said it, I think, to Solo next to me or one of the other players said, that's the biggest mark I've ever seen.
Yep.
It has to be up there for sure.
I agree. Yeah. It's in the top two or three ever.
Well, he gets the double ride, Jim.
Yeah,
it's so good when you get that. You wouldn't know, Pig.
I can't get off the ground. But it reminded me of Ashley Sampey's mark.
Yeah,
he got that. And, got that launch.
Sean at the Gabba.
White.
No.
Smith.
No, Sean Smith.
Boy. Yeah, Sean Smith. It was a bit that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You get that double banger.
Over Gaz, which we love.
Exactly.
We kept replaying it all the time. He has done that forever too, that bloke. It's not like it's a bolt of lightning.
Oh, I think he took three or four on the weekend. He's in super form, probably arguably the best halfback in the comp. Intercept Mark King.
All right, we need to talk to you about the switch from Essendon to Melbourne, what that's like, the differences, if you like.
And Jim, one of the cool kids at Melbourne.
We need
cool
to get kids. Across that as well with Michael Hibbard from the D's.
Michael Hibbard from the D's with us.
We got to get through with the pig.
Where's a bit?
Well, firstly, Bill, let's work them all through.
Righto.
Firstly, we had the photo sent back from Europe when the boys were all on the year off.
Yeah, that's it.
And they all had the shirts off. And every single Essendon player we've had in since have said, look at the guts on Pig.
Yes, Pig.
I thought I was looking pretty good in that photo. Actually, you had Tommy Bell in here maybe a month ago, and I heard this. So
and
I was thinking, in the middle of winter, if you took that photo, I'd be shocking.
Even Hurley.
Mick Hurley.
He blew up a little
bit. We had Dyson Heppel. I reckon every single Bomber player, when they've seen that photo, has just given it. Have a look at Pig.
Oh, Pig. Well, you have got the nickname The Pig, so you were carrying a little bit. You had a year off.
I always carry a little bit, especially in the year off. I wasn't in peak fitness, so yeah.
But I tell you what I did like. Jack Viney was on the Hot Breakfast the other morning.
Yes.
And he did tell us you're one of the cool kids.
I'm not part of the cool group.
Oh, okay.
and Hibbo and that lot. So
who's in the cool group, Jack? Who's in the cool group?
Oh, you know, you got Nathan Jones, Bernie Vince, Jack Watts, Michael Hibbard, Jake Melksham, Jordan Lewis, Max Gorn. Little click at the footy club. They walk around like they're better than everyone.
Ah, there you go.
Jake Melksham, how's the snake sneaking in there?
I don't know how Melky got out. Jack just needs to send me a text and buy me a few coffees and I'll let him in. That's fine.
So what are they? Are they the nerdy group?
Who's that?
Well, Jack.
Well, I don't know. It's a big group. It's half the team. So
what are the others then?
The others are the not as cool group. I don't know. Nah, I don't know. It's a bit of a sit-out.
So when you go for your coffees, are you boys pretty close and all stick together?
Yeah, we've got a pretty tight group. Everyone's same age bracket. Believe it or not, Bernie's 31. He acts like he's 12. We've got a tight group together, and we all pretty much do everything together. Coffee shop's next door, so we do all that.
What have you noticed the main difference is between Essendon, which is an unbelievably good footy club, and Melbourne, which is also a very good footy club? What are the differences?
I guess the first thing, obviously, Essendon's a massive club. Melbourne's getting there with the, I think we've got 40,000 members there now, which is good. But obviously, everywhere you go, everyone knows Essendon. The young group at Melbourne, it's a bit younger. I feel like I'm one of the older guys, being 27. There's a good core of, Petraka, Brayshaw, Clayton Oliver. We've got a heap of young stars coming through that are 20, 21, and, they've got older heads on their shoulders kind of thing. So, and at Essendon, I guess I was one of the younger guys, being 24 when I left. So that's probably the big difference I noticed.
Still got your roots down at Frankston Way?
Yeah, Mum lives in Somerville and Dad's in Cranbourne, so a bit in between. And I've got a few friends down there. I've got an F45 gym down in Frankston, so I'll give that a little plug. Go down there a little bit to see a few mates. That's about it.
They're not in the VFL this year?
No, they're not. They got they got the boot at the end of last year.
So, but I think they're trying to get back in, aren't they? Yeah. I think Gary Bucanara might be doing some work there, and bloke I karate chopped and spent 3 weeks in hospital. Jim,
no, he didn't.
Why'd you do that?
He played the rest of the game and never even knew you touched him.
And so hopefully he can get Frangers back into the VFL.
Yeah, hopefully they can get back in. I mean, if they didn't have a Frankston, 10 years ago, there'd be a lot of talent not in the AFL system. Bagley,
yourself.
Tory Dixon, Nick Newman at Sydney now is playing really well. So it'd be good to get them back because there's a big pool of talented players down there, that's for sure.
Now, Pig, I went to the Napier Hotel in Fitzroy on Saturday night.
In your leather jacket.
To taste the new beer that's been created by Joe Danaher.
Noble.
And by Ben Stratton, Noble Boy. Pale Ale. Very nice too, off the wood. And I'm not, I'll put my hand high, I'm not a beer aficionado. But have you had a look at it?
I haven't tasted it yet. So I text Joey on the weekend and they had their buy. So I think they threw a few of the nobles down. Ooh. But I think maybe on the 9-day break, in about a month's time, I'll head Fitzroy way and maybe have a couple with the boys.
About to put them into cans and the whole lot. So it's become quite a serious operation for those boys.
That far up to Queensland.
Well, it'd sell well, the beers. You'd have a crack, wouldn't you, Bill?
Carlton draft off.
Are you a vodka soda man now? Looking fit.
Thank you, Pig. I'm glad you've noticed, because no one seemed to notice around here.
Pig, look at the guts on him.
I've been in the gym. Well done, Pig. I'm glad you've noticed. No, I'm just a tank beer boy, Carlton draft out of the tank beer, mate. That's me down there at the Cremorne.
So what's coming up, please, for the Demons?
I'll tell you what, season defining, Jim. The next 3 weeks really are.
Come on.
Well, they've got Western Bulldogs, Eddie had this Sunday. Big, big
game.
Then West Coast Eagles over there Saturday night. And then Sydney MCG Friday night. Those 3 weeks, you're either in or you're out.
Yeah, that's it. We're even with the Bulldogs at the moment, so this weekend's massive. And then, you know, West Coast over there is always a really tough game. And Sydney are starting to hit their straps. So we need to play our best footy for the next 3 weeks. That's definitely for sure.
Ooh, and the 100th game coming up too.
It's still a while away. What is it, 10 games away? I'm not going to count my chickens just yet. And I'll get through the next 9 games.
You have a few from Frangers coming down for the... Oh, Jim,
I won't get as many tickets as Bernie Vince did to his 200. I think he had 64 or something.
What about Bernard? What,
all coming over from Adelaide?
Well, the game was in Adelaide.
He used up the whole club allocation.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a good thing you're not running into the Kangas in that stretch, Pig, because that's a hurdle you cannot get over. What, is 16 in a row or some stupid number?
Yeah,
is that right?
It's nuts. I think it's the longest standing streak in footy now.
Oh, well, I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad that's not happening.
You didn't know that?
It might be a game down in Tassie later
that's
in the year,
right,
so you can put that straight there.
My old man's already hit me up for tickets
for
that one. He's going down to Barnboogle, play some golf, and then go on the footy game.
And then he'll get on the froffies,
good
I reckon.
I reckon.
What a magnificent weekend that is, Bill. Barnboogle, one of the great places of all time. If anyone out there listening wants to play golf.
But it's not good for the hackers like myself. You lose too many balls.
Well,
man.
You just play the rule, as the Pig said before, Irish drop. So if you go in, one stroke penalty, drop on entry and keep going.
But do you look for the ball or
no?
Not
give
it up.
Point. Two reasons.
Why?
One, because the scrub's about hip height, and secondly, because the snakes are tiger snakes in there, Bill. So you don't go in there. You just drop another pill.
Well,
it is a magnificent
place. I don't
place.
Like losing balls.
Don't
They're
you?
Bloody expensive.
Oh, yeah. You've had to put your hand in your pocket for a golf ball recently, have you, Bill?
I want to tie less friends.
Let's go to the driving range and grab about 20 of those yellow ones.
Big, great seeing you, and great seeing you playing as well as you are too. It's brilliant. Keep it going.
Thanks, boys.
Triple M's Rush Hour. For Motorsport Wheels and Tyres, top brand tyres at affordable prices, contact the team at Motorsport Wheels and Tyres. You've got JB and Billy.
Yeah, Johnny out at Derrimut or Maddie out at Dandenong there, and just walk in and say, I want the best prices.
That's it, Jim.
I listen to the Rush Hour, I want the best price. You'll get it. Now, Bill.
Yes.
Social media feedback. I think, Leroy, you might have number five.
I'll take the new ball. Spider Drum off Twitter says, if JB and Billy's dream were combined, would Carl Stefanovic marry Miley Cyrus?
Yes. Not bad.
I saw a new song now, though. It's not bad.
Number
Jim.
Four.
Number four, Jimmy boy. This is from Marcus Rodgash. I'll interpret your dream, Jim. Means you're fully yourself and back yourself as a speaker. Leave the MC work to Billy.
What, like this?
Don't miss your chance to see Europe's best football teams battle it out. You fast forward that. You shouldn't do that. Well done, Marcus.
Number three, Peter Wolseley at Peter Cliffy. Bandana, old Flogville. Laugh out loud, nearly drove off the Monash.
Oh, Jim, you've seen him, have you?
Come on.
Number two, Jimmy boy, up the top there.
What's worse than Fats joke at 5 p.m.? When he tells two jokes.
Yes! I might give you two today,
well done,
too, for Stewie. The Chief. And
Stewart has,
our winner,
the
Jimmy,
winner.
The winner. Dean Higgins, or Higo.
Yes.
Even in his dreams, JB has tickets on himself.
Oh, bugger off, Higo.
You have tickets on yourself,
bugger
JB.
Off, Higgo.
Even in your dreams.
What
well
prize
done.
Does he get?
Well done,
he
gets Dino.
The Tradie Underwear Ultimate Toolbox Tradie Pack.
Ooh. I'll tell you what we're
Jocks,
doing next.
Pants,
we're getting to the news. And after the news, we're speaking to Justin Quill about the 10 network.
What is happening?
Into the hands of administrators. Where does that leave them? What happens with them as a broadcaster? Yep. We're going to find out next. Midweek Rub not too far away. We're looking forward to that. Of course, Jay-Z Clark and Jason Dunstall, in they come.
Yes.
It's now time to speak to a man called Justin Quillbill, media lawyer for McPherson Kelly Lawyers.
Quilly's a star.
And we're speaking to him because we read today where the 10 networks fallen into administration has appointed Court Amintha, which are very serious measures when a business is on the canvas. But what we want to know is how we can strip this back into a format that the family's going to understand.
Yeah.
Quilly's the man to do that. Quilly, welcome to you.
G'day, boys. Good to be here.
All right. So what does all this mean? Does it mean that Channel 10 are going to have to turn their station off at any stage? Just for the absolute basics of what this means, give it to us in a sentence.
Well, look, in the short term, no, it doesn't mean they're going to have to turn off. But it is looking a bit dicey in the long term. Basically, the directors are saying we can't pay our debts. They've got a $200 million debt, I think it is, that is due and payable pretty soon. They're saying we can't pay that. We need someone to come in and take over and cut costs and maybe look to sell the business so that it can be a long-term proposition. So that it's a bit dicey for them at the moment, but it doesn't mean you'll still be able to watch Channel 10 on the weekend.
All right, so I think they put a date of the 23rd of December when that credit line from the Commonwealth Bank is going to be taken away. Does it mean potentially that on the 23rd, if they can't find any more investors, that then they'll have to turn off?
Look, it's possible. It is possible that they have to shut the doors. The staff have to be let go, et cetera, et cetera. I reckon that's unlikely, I've got to say. They've already got a massive number of cost-cutting exercises in place. I think that I read 60 to 90 million in the next financial year. I mean, that's a pretty big lot of cost saving. They might be able to turn the ship around, and I would imagine that there is a private equity firm, or maybe a Gina Reinhart. You never know. She's been dabbling in media over the years. Gina Reinhart might come in and say, look, James Packer and Lachlan Murdoch, I know you guys don't think this is worth doing, but I do. You know, it could be someone like that comes in and says, look, I'll pay off the $200 million to the Commonwealth Bank, and I'm running the ship now.
Hey, Quilly, Billy here. If a business goes into administration, that tells me the shares are worthless. So that tells me that the station's not worth anything.
Look, that's probably a little bit of an overstatement. What it tells me is that they're in real financial trouble, and they can't keep going. What do they say? If you don't change things, nothing changes.
And yep.
Doing the same thing over and over and over is and expecting it to be different is the first sign of insanity. It's a little bit like that. They're saying, look, if we just keep doing what we've been doing, this is going to go under.
Yeah.
So let's not keep doing what we're doing, and let's call an administrator in. Directors of companies are not allowed to continue running the company if they think that it is insolvent, if they can't pay their debts as and when they fall due. And that's what's happened here. The directors of the company have said, look, you know, we've got our directors' obligations here. We can't just keep doing this day in, day out, because eventually someone's going to put us into administration, someone else. Let's do it ourselves, and then we can perhaps... we can control the situation a little bit better, and maybe the ship can be righted.
Hey, just as a matter of interest too, Quilly, how are the other channels travelling?
Well, you know, it's tough times in the media generally, guys. I mean, you know that when your multi-million dollar salary is up for grabs, I bet you're finding it a little bit harder than you did five or 10 years ago. I just finished last night. I'm actually in Norway at the moment, by the way, as a little aside. But I just finished season 5 of House of Cards last night, literally last episode. So I'm at a little bit of a loss today as to what to do. But that's a bit of an example of how the TV stations are struggling a little bit. Netflix and Stan and these sorts of companies that are allowing people to watch what they want, when they want, with no ads, they're causing some real problems for TV. But it's not just TV, it's media generally. It's tough times. The average punter out there on Twitter bags the media constantly. Geez, I tell you what, they would miss the media if it weren't there, that's for sure. So Tough times for Channel 10, but tough times generally.
Well, good. As we let you go, Quilly, good to hear they're not going to be switching off, by the way. We want Channel 10 up and about.
No, we
want
do. All the stations. I want to watch Quarters, bloody reading this, the news.
And the Big Bash, of course. And our mates, MasterChef, and all of the stuff they do. So that Absolutely. Is good news. Quilly, thanks very much for joining us from Norway.
Cheers, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. I'll tell you, that's good news. All right. I'll tell you what we're doing
so
next.
So it's not all lost, Jim. That's good.
No, let's hope they can find a way and get through. I got sent this by a mate on the internet the other day, and I absolutely loved it. It was congratulations to me and you, because we're both born in the 60s, and here's why. I'm going to read it out,
60s,
Bill.
Jim.
Yep. You and I are both born in the 60s, right and on. We're being congratulated, and here's why. First, we survived being born to mothers who drank while they carried us and lived in houses made of asbestos.
So true, Jim.
They took aspirin, ate blue cheese, raw egg products, loads of bacon and processed meat, tuna from a can. Then after all that trauma, our baby cots were covered in bright coloured lead-based paint.
Yep, exactly.
We rode our bikes with no helmets or shoes. We drank water from the garden hose and not a bottle. Takeaway food was limited to fish and chips.
Yes.
Even though all the shops closed at 6 p.m. and didn't open on the weekends, somehow we didn't starve to death.
We shared soft drink with four friends. Each, we all have a go out of the one bottle,
that's
Jim.
That's it, Bill. We ate cupcakes, white bread, real butter, drank soft drinks with sugar in it, but weren't overweight because we were always outside playing.
Exactly.
We could leave home in the morning, play all day as long as we were back when the street lights came on. No one was able to reach us all day, but somehow we were okay. We'd spend hours building go-karts out of old prams, then ride down the hill, only to find out we'd forgot the brakes.
That's right.
Built tree houses and dens and played in riverbeds with matchbox cars. I love this.
Yeah.
No mobile phones, Bill. No personal computers.
No internet.
No chat rooms. We had friends, and we went outside and found them.
And we played, Jim. And only girls had pierced ears. Only girls.
You could only
then.
Buy Easter eggs and hot cross buns at Easter.
Yeah, true.
Mum didn't have to go to work to help Dad make ends meet, which they pretty much all have to now. The idea, this I love, the idea of a parent bailing us out if we broke the law was unheard of. Your parents actually sided with the law.
They did. They sucked in. You get what you're given.
Our parents didn't invent stupid names for their kids like Kiora or Blade or Ridge or Vanilla. We had freedom, failure, success and responsibility, and we learnt how to deal with it all.
Exactly.
You are one of them. Congratulations.
Spot on that, Jim.
Now, Bill, I'm sorry.
So how come we're so good now and the kids of today are either a beast?
Because you and I are part of the problem.
Oh.
I
we should have brought them up
exactly,
like we did.
A bit more like we were, but you can't anymore. So you make all these compensations for kids rather than saying, well, have some of that.
I tell you who aren't good at it either, the grandparents. They just let them do whatever, or get them whatever they want, Jim. They give them whatever they want.
Oh, no. I love that. When it was sent to me, I thought, you know what? That is absolutely spot on.
Back in the day, Jim.
Yep.
Back in the day.
Freedom, failure, success and responsibility, and we learnt how to deal with it all.
And that's true about the parents. They'd go, they'd side with the law.
Hey, Bill.
Remember, you get in trouble, they go, sucked in, mate. You did it. You pay for it.
One of my brothers got caught tea-leafing to something very small.
Yeah.
My old man marched him to the cop shop.
Exactly.
In you go.
Yeah.
And let's have a chat about what you just did.
What did I do? Broke a window with a golf ball, Jim, and I covered it up. I did really well, but Mum made me go across the road, knock on the door, and say, sorry, I actually broke the window.
Which is responsibility for what you do.
For it,
I love it. I absolutely love it. I tell you what we need to do. Mm. I can see the boys coming in, of course, midweek run not far away.
Little piglet.
But we've also launched, Fat and Skinnies again.
It's back, Jim.
So we'll talk a bit about that next. Thanks to the Citroen Berlingo, we've got this Fat and Skinny ad agency back and about. And Willis, we've had lots of people already inquiring as to how they can get our help.
It's for the small business type, Jim.
That's
and we'll write you a commercial, give you $1,000 cash.
Yes.
Plus, you'll be in the running for a huge $10,000, that's right, $10,000 advertising package, Jim.
And the Citroen Berlingo van, of course.
The van.
So your name sometimes can work, like it did with Funky Cat. We left that because we liked it, but we can change the name if we think it's not quite hitting the mark.
That's right.
But then we give you a phone answering message.
Yep.
So when people ring, if you flat out.
Yeah. A jingle type thing.
Well, no, but then you get the jingle as well.
Sorry, yes.
So you get the phone answering, you get rebadged if we think you need it, and then you
the
get
jingle.
The jingle, Bill.
Yes, and we love the jingle, Jim.
Well, we had, of course, with Funky Cat, we went down the path of Echo Beach, and it was one of our all-time greats, and Funky Cat's gone through the roof, by the way. It's now, they got stores everywhere.
It's but number one.
I think we got a montage of what we did 2 or 3 years back, Bill.
Oh, Jim.
Because they will build a and big shit, and then they'll build another big shit. Don't hesitate to call Funky Cat today. Funky Cat, we make scratchy poles. Funky Cat, we're in a big ass limo. Get your cheeks in the seat. Big ass limo, no room for hacks. Golden flower. If you're in need of flowers, see Ashley and Roxanne in Mornington. Ashley is smoking hot, and so is Mum Roxanne.
Oh, no. They were down at Dramana or somewhere.
Yeah, Mornington. Or Golden Flower. Remember that, Jim? Golden Flower. Big ass sheds.
Because we did change their name.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know what they were, but Golden Flower we thought worked better for them.
Because they were a florist.
They were.
And the name says it all, Jim.
Oh, that's it, Bill.
And the big ass limos.
That's it.
They were big limos.
Huge big limos.
So when we say that, you know what we mean.
And all those companies are now flying. So
and
that's
the big
what
sheds
the agency,
with a bit of a swear word.
The agency can do that for you, Bill.
Did we do that stuff?
Register now. Your chance to win the Fat and Skinny Ad Agency on the Rush Hour. I'm going to read it again.
Yes.
What you win.
All right, I tell
me. All right. You could end up with us giving you all that stuff we've just told you, a complete rebranding, $1,000 cash.
Yep.
You're in the running to win 10 grand's advertising.
And?
A Citroen Berlingo van.
Wowee.
Bill.
For your small business, imagine that. You'd be a big business then.
And by the way, the Berlingo Apple CarPlay, you've got reversing camera, touchscreen, all the rest of it's unbelievable. All right. All you have to do is get online, Triple M, and register with us why you think you need our help. And apparently they've already come piling in, as they would. Mm. Of course. Everyone thought this thing had gone. After we won all those awards, we sort of shelved it.
Where are those awards, Jim?
I don't know. I think our producer
I think Eddie's got them. Put them up on his mantelpiece with all their footy show awards.
Anyway, get stuck into that, triplem.com.au. Follow the prompts, the rush hour. And if you want Fat and Skinny's ad agency's help, we can bring it to you.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
They come from everywhere!
It's a beauty!
This is the Midweek Run.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, we do. It's great to have these two boys involved in the midweek rub. Jason Dunstall, Hawthorn legend, and Jay-Z Clark. I always say rising journalist, but I think risen is
risen.
A better word for Jay-Z.
On the way back down.
Welcome to you two. Let me start with you, Jay-Z.
Yes.
Nick Maxwell cautioned by the AFL for spending too much time on the ground and, well, the accusation was being in the wrong spot, although the GWS have hit back pretty hard.
Yeah, I think the AFL have warned GWS and Nick Maxwell to say, listen, Cobber, we see you pull this sort of stuff again. You will get a severe fine. So at the moment, it's just a slap over the wrist and a warning. But there's no doubt it's a bit of a message to the rest of the league, to all the runners, get on the ground, deliver your message and get off the ground.
Do teams need runners, Chief?
Well, it's an interesting discussion point, Bill, because it's not the first time runners have got on everyone's nerves.
Exactly.
They spend time out there.
Too much time.
Sometimes it's the coach's instructions to be out there doing this, this, this and this.
Yep.
Sometimes I think there's a couple of runners out there over the journey that have felt they're a bigger part of the game than they actually are and just enjoy being out there.
Exactly.
But I'd like to see them restricted to some degree. It'd be nice to make the players make a few decisions of their own out there.
So how do you do that?
Well, I don't know. Chief. I don't know. I haven't. To be brutally honest, Jasey, I haven't given it a hell of a lot of thought talking about runners, but the less we see them, the better, I think.
I think, Mike Fitzpatrick? He was the one, or certainly Andrew Demetrio, has been calling for this for some time, hasn't he? He's been trying to clear the field of these sorts of officials. And when Maxi, because it was noted in the umpire's notes that Maxi was out there lingering, even doing a bit of coaching. Mm. So you got to cut that stuff out.
Well, I don't mind Bill's suggestion then. You've got 30 seconds after a goal's kicked. So that's the time when your runner can get on the field, deliver, as Chief says, whatever he has to deliver, and then make sure he's off by the 30-second mark.
I did hear it from somewhere else, Jim.
But that would work. Because the people on the field is the look I don't like.
Yeah.
There are that many bloody
water
people.
Boys and bloody.
It is ridiculous, no
There's
doubt
a lot
about
out
that.
There.
And the players are good enough, aren't they, to sort out their structures.
You'd like
and,
to think so.
Well,
they can
be.
Do that now.
Well, they should be, Jay-Z.
And there's a few players that'll be happy not to see the runner come out towards them.
Yes,
exactly. I used to run away from them. I knew straight away he's coming. You look over, here he comes. He'd lead out the other wing. Hey, now, Eddie Maguire, Mark Robinson, there's a bit going on. I know he's your boss, Jay-Z, and you love him.
Yep.
Still a bit, it's bubbling away. We're nearly sick of this.
I think there's been a bit of tit for tat happening. Look, I saw Robbo on AFL 360 and I thought he almost got emotional to the sense where I thought his apology was very genuine. And so I think surely he's sort of paid for his mistake and he's fessed up to that and it can all sort of die off now and Alex Fasola can get on with his recovery and Robbo can get on with calling the footy and doing what he does best. I've had enough of it, Bill, to be honest.
Well, I said the same thing to Bill. I can't believe we're still talking about this. Yeah. It's like a week and a half ago. Why is it still being discussed?
Well, because Robbo keeps talking about it. So he just shut up now and we'll move on, I reckon.
I think the issue came, it blew up again because, you know, he was asked by Fasola's management and the AFLPA to write a letter of an apology. So he did that. But then maybe someone got their wires crossed with Eddie saying that he got some medical advice and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think it's put to bed now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think so.
Now, Chief, there are some teams within this comp that I cannot get a line through at all. Port Adelaide are one of them.
Yep, absolutely. And we're seeing some of the top clubs on days like GWS on the weekend over Carlton. Yeah. Just inexplicable lapses in games or losses of form that are costing them the 4 points. So if you're a couple of percent off on any given day, you will fall at the moment. And what that does do is make it a very interesting season.
Yes.
Because it's not going to be about who's the best team this year. It's who can get it right come September with a little bit of momentum. And there's a premiership up for grabs. So I enjoy seeing upsets like this all the time because it makes things so much less predictable.
Well, the Western Bulldogs are another mob.
Yeah.
I've got no idea what's coming with them. And
cold as a fish Thursday night, they
weren't they?
Oh, terrible.
They were nowhere near it. And to hear Luke Beveridge speak, Jay-Z, that brutally about his own team is rare.
And it stems from the hunger. Do they have the same hunger that they sort of showcased last season in their premiership run? And while people have been calling for Tom Liberatore to come back into the fold this year, for mine, Luke Beveridge was pretty blunt that he wasn't in great form in the twos, Libba. So he might sort of be sitting out for another couple of weeks and Mitch Honeychurch and others might get a Guernsey. So I'm not sure Tommy Liberatore is coming straight back into the side.
Frio and St Kilda, they're cold as a fish.
Frio were a false top 18, though. Let's be brutally honest. They were 6-3 with a percentage of 90.
Yeah.
And they were never going to last. And they're just coming back to the field. But St Kilda are a genuine concern. Every time you're just about ready to think, they've taken the next step, they're going to be a decent side, they just fall back into old habits and uncompetitive efforts and make themselves look average again.
I tell you, you'd be happy, Chiefy. First time for about, two or three years that both Queensland sides have won.
How good was that?
Yeah, it was good.
Absolutely brilliant.
And Brisbane, what's that game? Dane Zorko.
He's a star.
If he was playing in a Melbourne side,
he'd be a superstar.
He would be. Bloody oath, he would be. He's a very, very good player. And that midfield they got now.
Yeah, Zorko doesn't quite get as many possessions in total as the top midfielder. So he's more a 26, 27, whereas they're 35.
But he kicks goals.
But the impact that he has with the ball is exceptional.
Beams, Rockcliffe, of course. Mm. Andrews, they've signed him on again. They've got Josh Shackey. So some good news up there at Brisbane.
Yeah, I think the next one is Daniel McStay. He's a Victorian kid, 195 centimetres build, plays centre-half back. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of clubs pretty keen on a centre-half back. And you might get a pay rise.
And Jay-Z, what they need to do is get the whole place right, and they're doing a great job with Chris Fagan and Mark Evans. So they're getting really good people involved. And as Chief will tell you, that is the only way to make a footy club better is improve the people. But their facility is next.
Yeah.
These clubs you talk about are going to get a McStay down here.
Yep.
He's going to wander into the Westpac Centre. He's going to wander out to Hawthorn are building in
Geelong.
Dingley. And they'll just, Geelong's amazing now.
It is.
These facilities are outrageous. Young blokes walking in there will go, geez, compare that to the Gabba.
I think the issue up at the Gabba is there's no natural sunlight in their gym. It's in some sort of dungeon, which can get very hot in the summer months, which is not that inspiring. So you're right. I think Greg Swan's all over that. And Chris Fagan, to me, looks like he's having the Paul Ruse effect. So it's a 3-year sort of stabilisation. And what happens beyond that, I'm not sure. But, you know, Tommy Rockliffe was at the absolute crossroads last year. Happy, loving his footy again, you know, leading the AFL in clearances almost.
Didn't prejudge anyone, Chris Fagan. He went there and said, look, I don't care what's happened in the past. Yep. All I care about is what can happen in the future. Mm-hmm. You show me that you've got passion and you want to play, you play, your form's good. We all go forward together.
Bill McLaughlin brings the coaches into his house. It's a move I like. What will they be discussing during?
And what do they eat? They had Indian, didn't they, the other year?
Beef or something. I think the first biggest decision is what sort of bottle of red wine are we going to bring? All the coaches.
Is that you, Fat?
Must be you, mate.
No, stop.
Turn your phone off, Fat.
Shazza.
But I think the I think the bye before the finals is one of the major sticking points at the moment. So we saw the Bulldogs last year, didn't they? They had the rest, got recharged, and then knocked over everyone in the run home to the finals. And I think the top clubs, Chief, aren't necessarily thrilled that some of that advantage, that top four advantage, has been taken away by that bye.
Yeah, I don't like the argument. It's not like that bye snuck up on you. You knew it was there before the season started, just like every other part of the draw. So don't sit there and say, oh, one team got an advantage. That was the landscape before the season started. So use it however you want to use it, as far as I'm concerned.
Also, my mail, Jay-Z, last year was that the All-Stars game rated through the roof and the All-Star women's game rated through the roof during that. I think they both were happening during that time. So my mail is that ain't going anywhere. As long as those two numbers stay as high as they were for the host broadcaster, Chief, I don't think that buy is going to move an inch.
No, and let's be brutally honest. Gil's not about doing something and then doing a big backflip straight away, is it?
He wouldn't have thought.
Makes pretty measured decisions.
Who'd be best on from the coaches in that sort of, you know, after half a bottle of red wine, it gets to 10 Clarko. O'clock, 11 o'clock,
oh, say,
they start to fire up.
Alistair.
Clarko wouldn't take a backward step. I think there are two brothers in there that are forthright in what they'd be saying.
And back each other up.
Yeah, I think they'd be pretty good there. I'm trying to think who else. Who else do you reckon, Chief?
I think Clarko's the main one, and he's the big dog.
Well, there's a few that'll wait their turn, I think, and then just deliver a couple.
After you've tucked four premierships away, you can sit at that table pretty comfortably, Jose.
Although, do you get a little quieter when things aren't going that well, Jim? Do you just pull back a touch?
Maybe.
Pikelet wouldn't say a lot.
A very smart man. He'd probably just wait and be asked.
Hardwick? Dimmer?
No.
Worst fault, pretty quiet, I reckon.
Very quiet.
Horse Longmire wouldn't have a lot to say there, although he might have pushed.
Bucks.
Because there are some Sydney issues that he'd be pretty passionate about, Horse, I reckon.
Oh, Rocket Eid. How would Rocket go, your old teammate, number 26?
Rocket will just be nipping at the heel, throwing in a few barbs, trying to fire a few people up.
Speaking about the above, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Chief, four premierships you played in, but you're at the club when they won plenty of them. I want to know if this $150,000 worth of champagne Golden State had just worked their way through, whether the Hawks ever got anywhere near that.
I wouldn't have thought so.
This is the Midweek Rub.
AEG Power Tools, now with more than 30 heavy-duty tools.
Triple M rocks footy.
Listen to the Midweek Rub for AEG Power Tools on Triple M with James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless, Jason Dunstall and Jay Clark.
80 bottles of Moët have the Golden State Warriors gone through, Chief, at the cost of $150,000. And they went through a couple of real special big boys at $15,000 apiece.
Would have been enormous spillage too. They know how to waste stuff, don't they? It's over the top.
When you won all those premierships with the Hawks, was there any real big night? Or were you just so used to winning that you just went to a restaurant or something?
No, nothing like that, mate. That sort of overindulging is just not on. I don't actually think people enjoy seeing things like that. Because it's thumbing your nose at everyone when you waste that much on stuff that you're tipping on.
I get your opinion on that. Yeah. I'm more interested in your.
What did you do?
We just went out for a few quiet beers.
How many pizzas you eat?
Whatever's
seven
around.
Or eight. You would eat seven or eight pizzas, bit of spaghetti bowl, and then a bit of a steak, and you would have had. Hey, thanks for the slab too. He's paid his bets. That's what I like about the Chief. We had a bet, New South Wales, Queensland, and you've come in today with a slab of Carlton Dry, mother's milk.
You know why, Bill? Because you're a golfer. And one thing you learn when you play golf is etiquette and how to behave. And if you make a bet, you pay every time.
Have you ever cheated, and I look you two in the eye, in golf?
No.
Never?
No.
Never kicked it out little bit?
No enjoyment out of doing something like that.
Never, Bill. Why would you do that?
Sometimes it stuck me on a tree. You just got to get it out.
Hey, Jay-Z, tell us about the D's. Unbelievably good Queen's birthday. Have they got some big names coming back? Maxi Gawn, Jesse Hogan.
Yeah, Jesse Hogan might still be 3 weeks away.
Three?
So we know had that testicular cancer, Bill.
Yes.
It just hasn't quite settled. One of the bags might be a bit big still. So just trying to reduce some of the swelling.
So that must have been, because my mail from a very good source out of Melbourne, and it's nothing to do with my nephew, was that it had gone brilliantly. They couldn't have been more happy post-op with how it settled. So he's had complications.
Yeah, there must have been because he's still not able to do what he needs to do to get back in the senior side and we're still requiring some treatment. So two to three. On the Melbourne website, he's listed as 4 to 6.
Right.
So, really, I don't see him playing anytime soon. Maxi Gawn, I think he's still doubtful for this week. He might play the following week. See, Melbourne have got 3 6-day breaks in a row.
Right.
So they're really trying to manage that. With the Bulldogs on Sunday, don't really have that imposing ruckman, do they? So whether they need to risk him this Sunday, get another good week of training in him, and maybe comes back the week after. But they're well placed, the D's, with the two big boys to come back.
Cats just beat surely West Coast in Perth, Chief.
I would think so. Well, but then again, we talk about results that have been flipped on their head this year. Nothing would surprise you, but on form, you'd think they'd have a comfortable one.
No Kennedy, no Scott Lysette.
No, Josh Kennedy's the big one. I mean, how are West Coast going to kick a winning score without Josh Kennedy?
Well, Lacroix and Darling might be able to kick a few this week.
They've been off, haven't they, Bill?
I just see that Darling had a kid. Well, he didn't, but his wife had a kid or girlfriend on the Friday before the game last week. So that's maybe a little excuse that he didn't get a kick.
Hasn't had a great year, Bill. Jackie Darling.
No, he hasn't. So, but no Tomahawk for the Cats. Big Reece Stanley comes back.
How do you rate him as a full forward, Bill? Reecing.
I don't know.
He's sort of been used largely
as a ruck. I don't
know
where his best spot is, actually. I'm not sure. Does he play ruck, centre forward, or does he play full forward? I'm not sure where his best spot is. We're trying to find that out, Scotty and I.
Your premiership mate, Dermot Brereton, had Joey Montagna in the crosshairs. Mm. Chief, how did you see all that exchange?
Well, it was interesting because I didn't realise there'd been quite a bit of fuss. I hadn't seen the article, and Alan Richardson came in to Fox 40 on Monday night, and I heard his comments on air. We were talking a little bit about it off air. He wasn't thrilled.
Thought
it was a touch disrespectful. Mm. Sometimes you've got to be careful, though, because sometimes, as you would know, Jim, you've written articles before, and you might be giggling while you're writing some lines thinking this is hilarious. But when people look at it in black and white print, they don't get the context. If you're a little bit tongue-in-cheek, they just go, oh, gee, that's a bit mean. But you might have been thinking, this is the funniest stuff I've ever written.
Yes.
So never quite easy, but I think you've got to be careful when you're saying certain things about players that just be prepared. If it's get taken the wrong way, you might cop a little bit of backlash.
Firing back at you. I thought it was as much a criticism of Alan Richardson as Joey, because if you're trying to create an uneven number in the back half so you can get someone to distribute, which is exactly what it looks like they're doing and what Joey ends up doing, then that's the coach forcing that to happen, not the player. I would have thought Jay-Z.
I think the 280 gamer like Joey, who we all know and like and respect, you know, I think he felt a bit disrespected. We had him on the Sunday rub, and I think he had his nose out of joint just because he thought that was a bit harsh from Dermot, and was pretty quick to get on the blower to give him a call.
We had the pig in earlier, didn't we?
Michael Hibbert,
who said, Jeremy Howe, that's the biggest mark he's ever seen live.
Did say that.
On the weekend.
Looked good, didn't it?
What's the best you've seen, Chief?
Oh, I used to love watching Tony Modric play. It was ridiculous. He'd just all of a sudden be sitting on top of a pack.
Mm.
But I did like that one that Sean Smith took up at the Gabba.
I liked that one.
That was something special.
I saw The Godfather on the open mic, talking to the Buzz, Peter Bazzasto, and his highlight reel was reasonably impressive.
Yeah.
He took a couple of real big
ones. So was Kappa's, by the way. If you look at some of Kappa's marks.
What about Gary Senior, Bill? You had front row seats.
Yeah, I was in Mark of the Year 1 year. Seven times I was underneath him, feeling on the worst feeling in the world, hearing the crowd about to go, Adler! You knew he was coming, and he bowled you over. But I like Modra too. We grew up in that era. Modra, Sampies was a good one. He got the double lift.
Didn't do it as often. I like Modra because he'd do it every week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Geez, he was good to watch. Now, what about the matchup? Richmond-Sydney this week. Huge game for both sides. Franklin and Rance. It's got to be the matchup, doesn't it, Chief?
Well, Richmond haven't been doing that with Alex Rance in recent weeks. Yeah, and a lot this year they've let Asprey take the number one forward, and Rance has found another opponent who he normally polishes off and then does a little bit more damage outside of that. So maybe they go the same way again. It'd be great to see them go head-to-head.
And Dusty too. Who takes Dusty from Sydney?
Well, they're not.
Josh Kennedy, head to head?
Yeah, they're not renowned for tagging in the midfield.
They gave Jason Johannesson a tough time last weekend.
That was a team targeting, wasn't it?
It was. Mm.
And JJ wasn't thrilled with it.
No. Would you want to fire up Dusty, though? Like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure they'll do it.
Doesn't seem to have any impact. That's what the Cats used to do with Scarlett.
Yeah.
Back half of his career, they just made sure he was on the third or whatever, and he just absolutely dominated.
Do what he want. Run.
Big Domsey Lonergan.
Poor old Domsey get the best one.
Yes.
That's about time.
Todd Goldstein.
You've been caught.
What's going on with Todd at North Melbourne? Surely he's not under pressure.
Well, his form's dipped a little bit. I don't think he's been dropped probably in the last 6 or 7 years that I can remember. He hasn't taken a mark in his past two games. And you listen to Brad Scott's press conference after the loss to Richmond. He was savage. He said they got slaughtered in the centre bounce area with what should have been a dominant ruckman. That is his quote. Now, that to me is a pretty big swipe at Todd Goldstein. Braden Pruce, we know he was good in the JLT series and available for selection. So if there is a selection shock there, it could be Pruce for Goldstein because aerially, he hasn't been getting busy enough around the ground.
And Libba back this week?
Don't think so. Might be still the twos, mate.
Didn't we just talk about Libby before?
We did. Might have. Yeah. This is a game where he needs to grit his teeth, Goldie, too, because yep. Nankervis has been good for the Tigers, and their midfield is up and about. So, good. If and when he does play, I'd be very surprised if he was ever omitted. But if he gets into that first centre bounce, what's where you want your big bloke, Chief, to grit his teeth and say, right, these next 2 hours are about me.
Yep.
And if he does that, then he'll give some nice service to Cunnington and Zeebel and the rest.
Jeremy Howell's a good mark, wasn't
it? Bill, what we need to do is talk about tomorrow. Damien Barrett in, of course, to set up the round. Mason Wood, speaking of very talented young players, Mace comes in North Melbourne Friday night against St Kilda, and we'll announce the winner of the North Melbourne mascot, thanks to Spirit of Tasmania, with Zeebs through the banner. It'll be fantastic for a young lady or man to enjoy that.
Now, that's too,
we've been disappointed, fair to say, with Bill and the jokes, haven't we?
For about 3.5 years, yes.
No, the chicken and the egg. The, you like
there was one good one in 3.5 years.
All right, so Bill.
And there's still only going to be one good one.
Bill, you're better than that.
No, I'm not.
Deliver it.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke. Had an accident? Let Sheen Panel Service get you back on the road with a free courtesy car. Sheengroup.com.au.
Sheen Group.
They've jumped on.
Of course I have. They know a good thing when they see it or hear it. Now, Jim.
Yes.
And Chief and little fella. Upon returning to England from the South American island, three soldiers that had distinguished themselves in battle were summoned to the general's office. Yes. Since we weren't actually at war, the general said, I can't give out medals. However, I want to let each of you know your efforts were appreciated. What I've decided to do is let each of you choose 2 points of your body. You'll be given £2 sterling for each inch of distance between the parts. You with me, Chief? Stay with me. We'll start with you, Soldier One. The tip of me head to the tip of me toes, sir. Very good, son. That's 70 inches, 140 pounds. Next bloke. The tip of me finger to me outstretched hand to the tip of the other one, Chief. Very good. That's 72 inches. That's 144 pounds. The third one. The palm of me hand to the tip of me left pinky, sir. That's a strange but a fair request. Okay, then. So the general begins his measurements. He says, where's your left pinky? He says, the Falkland Islands, sir. She left it there.
Bad boy.
Oh, no.
He had the left pinky shot off, Chief.
I'd say goodbye to the sponsor.
Oh, here's a little one for you, Chief.
Oh, it's gone again.
I got a new car for my wife. Best trade I ever made. Oh, bang, no. Chief! Bang. Look at Chief in a little smile.
There is something there, Chief.
I'm laughing at Bill.
Oh, there's a little.
He's like little he's crease. At the trough. The old tough, tough, tough. And so are you, little
chough,
piglet.
Chough,
look at old piglet here.
Oh, no.
Good show. Well, no, still laughing. You're going to use that tomorrow at golf.
Take control here.
I'll have forgotten it by the time I walk out of the studio. Well,
thanks for the slab.
Plastic involved.
Sam plan boom wah. Sam plan boom wah 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 wah. Wah wah wah. Woo!
Come on, Bill.
Sam plan boom wah. Loop. You pull the verb out of us.
Verb.
No, the verb. What's
Triple M's Rush Hour podcast for Motorsport Wheels and Tyres. Australia's largest range of wheel and tyres at two great locations, Mount Derrimut Road, Derrimut, and South Gippsland Highway, Dandenong South, or online at mswt.com.au.